Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? We'll get the bunch on third and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Game day inches just a little bit closer for the Patriots. This two-week stretch that fans have been waiting for all season long is about to culminate with the visit by the San Francisco 49ers. Sunday night football right here at Gillette Stadium on the heels of Monday night football at Gillette Stadium. John Rook, PFW's Eric Scalavino. We have Russell Baxter, pro football guru, joining us in hour number two of the program. It's Prediction Thursday, kids. So now that the PFW guys have given their thoughts on the game, and I've kind of given you some of my thoughts on the way that I'm leaning on the game, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Let's what do you think? We need to know how you feel about the game on Saturday night. Web radio, Sunday night. What did I say Saturday? See, it's Saturday on the brain around here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Line up the Ace Ticket Hotline. Boy, we did a great job with it yesterday, too. I was thrilled with that. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, the telephone number is 508-298-0398. Facebook page is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name, and Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. So, I have to admit, Eric, that I have been leaning toward the Patriots all week. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm trying to decide whether or not, and really, I knew that Fred would probably ask me for a prediction, so I was actually thinking of one on the right end, because I've been sort of back and forth on it. I've been kind of ambivalent. And it's not because I don't care, it's because I'm trying to weigh all the factors in as I see them. I don't want to put too much credence in what transpired Monday night, because Houston is coming off of it's a three-game road trip, and, you know, they kind of put extra heat on themselves by calling it biggest game in franchise history and, you know, stuff that we talked about yesterday. And so I wanted to try to weigh that with looking at what San Francisco really presents. And what I think they present is certainly formidable defense, every bit as formidable and maybe more so than what Houston presented. I think we'll give you that. But you have to also look at it from the other point of view. Fact remains is that San Francisco also has to come east and has to also prepare for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at it from who's got the most pressure, you can certainly make a great argument here that San Francisco has the predominant pressure put on them coming into the game on Sunday, because they're right now, they're finding themselves in a bit of a dogfight with Seattle, for God's sake.
And, yeah, they're very similar to Houston's case last week, where they're a youngish team with a young coach.
Yeah.
Who they had a little bit of experience getting their feet wet in the playoffs last year, but they fell short. And now they're still trying to, they're going through a quarterback transition. They're still trying to prove that they belong among the best teams in the league. So it's a very similar situation that the Patriots find themselves in with their opponent coming to town.
Well, you know, I guess the best way to look at it is, all right, how much does San Francisco really look at this as necessary to getting where they need to go? It is an interconference game. And this much we know the Patriots, that in the overall scheme of things, well, it's an interconference game. However, we also know that if the Patriots stub their toes, they might go from what seems now like a bye to having to play at home in the opening round. And that could very well be the outcome.
Yeah.
So because of that, which team really needs to win this game more than the other?
Yeah, and that's a tough question.
And because of what we saw from the Patriots this last week, and this is where I am going to take into account 42-14, I kind of feel like the Patriots have got their focused goggles on right now. And I think that they have turned it up a notch. And I think we saw that from the game plan against Houston. And realizing now that they do control their own fate and their own destiny to, you know, basically being at home really throughout the playoffs for the most part, You know, they obviously need Houston to lose one more, but I don't think they fear Houston in any regard at all. I think they respect Houston. I don't think they fear Houston. I think those are two completely separate details.
Mm-hmm.
But it really boils down to, all right, so we went out and we kicked Houston's ass, but if we lose to San Francisco, that's going to be for naught. And really, that's kind of what it boils down to, at least how I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I think there will be enough pressure on the Patriots to sufficiently put forth the effort that it's going to take, you know, to come up with a good game plan and beat San Francisco. And I favor the Patriots slightly. That's kind of where that's really kind of where I boiled it down to. I mean, I kind of thought the same thing, really, last week, because I thought that the Patriots needed the game more than Houston overall. And so that's why I favored the Patriots slightly over Houston. Mm. And then Houston just crapped the bed, as we know.
They did. Now, let's look at it from San Fran's point of view.
Okay.
As far as where that what this could mean for them if they lose. They are 9-3-1, correct?
Yes.
Atlanta's 11-2?
Yes.
Green Bay would be next up, right? And as far as the
division champions,
division champs, and the seeding.
Yes,
right?
That would be they. Right now would be three, and then whoever is ahead in the East, which is the Giants now,
but by a game,
but by a game over the Cowboys and
they're
Redskins.
Only 8-5.
8-5,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Niners are they kind of in a fight with Green Bay to try to make sure keep Green Bay away from that number two.
Yeah, I think that is the case largely. Let's just do the old math
for the
ticks.
NFL.
Yeah, let's go
standings.
Right here.
NFL.
And we're going to make sure that we take a look at the standings, and make sure that we look at the schedules. Now, Green Bay is 9-4.
Yeah, 9-4, and
so they're only a half game behind.
So
right now,
this means a lot for them.
It does mean quite a bit to them, simply because if they lose, they potentially drop a half game behind Green Bay with two to play.
Yeah. And San Fran could be fighting with Atlanta. If Atlanta struggles at all in these next 3 weeks, they could be
fighting for a potential number one seed.
It's very similar to what New England's going through. They could go from potentially getting the one seed to having to play on wild card weekend.
So it's not dissimilar.
No. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's what I want here. I want devil's advocate, because we're going to try to reason this thing out as to why we think the way we do. But again, I would point out that it's San Francisco having to do the traveling. It's San Francisco having to game plan up for New England. And, you know, and having to do the traveling on top of that, which has a tendency to sort of make you rush through your game preparation, because you've got to come 3,000 miles this way. I would feel much different about this, clearly, if the Patriots were the team doing the travel. And is San Francisco the type of veteran team? And again, I'm just sort of asking a Zen question here. But is San Francisco the type of veteran team that can put aside all the periphery and focus on the task at hand? And I think that's really the great X factor. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm inferring by the way you worded that you kind of think not.
I'm just saying that because they have just made a huge change at quarterback.
Yeah.
You've got a relative rookie. I mean, I realize he's not a rookie.
Second year, yeah,
but he's a second-year guy.
He's talented, but
he might as well be a rookie. You know, doesn't this traditionally play into New England's hands when basic young quarterbacks come into Foxborough for the first time to face a Bill Belichick coach team?
Yes. Long-term, historically, yes. Short-term, historically, they played a young, mobile NFC West quarterback this year and lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Russell
and
Wilson.
And I'm going with the recent history as being more relevant, because it's this team we're talking about, this year's team,
mm-hmm.
which is why this but scares
I also,
me a little bit.
But I can understand the concern over being scared. But I also think that this Patriot team is vastly different from the one that blew it against Seattle right now.
They're a little different. I don't know if they're vastly different.
I think they learned a lesson. I just think they learned a lesson. And I think that was a great teaching moment. And I hate to say that there are teaching moments out there, but there are teaching moments out there, especially for teams like the Patriots. And keep in mind now, the Patriots are not the veteran-dominated unit and group that we're used to having here over the course of the last decade.
No, they're not. Yeah, most of the guys on this team know about losing in the playoffs and losing Super Bowls, winning them.
Which is why I think you've got a little bit of that hunger factor going here. And I think they realize that it's all right there for them to take. They can basically control their own destiny. And I think that's what they'll have to use to get through these last 2 weeks, because as much as we're anticipating, you know, a great matchup again on Sunday night here, the last 2 weeks are going to be excruciating. Excruciating.
Because they're going to be
playing against teams that have nothing to play for.
Well, they might be excruciating, but if New England, well, regardless of whether they win or lose, I think New England needs to win out. Either to get the one or the two.
No doubt.
So I think that that's
going to be enough to keep them motivated?
Yeah, because I think they run the risk of going from 1-3.
All right.
Or possibly 4, depending on how badly, you know, Baltimore plays or doesn't in these last few weeks. So yeah, they're going to be crappy games. You know, crappy teams that they're going to be going against, but I think the implications are still meaningful enough that you can't just take it lightly or just gloss over it. I think it's important for New England's playoff seeding.
Okay.
Trying not to think too far ahead, obviously, of the more important game, which is this Sunday night. But that's the reality of it. They have to win out. They really do have to win out. If they care about getting the bye in the first round.
Right.
If they don't care about the bye in the first round, that's a whole different story. But something tells me they'd rather have the week off than not.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking as well. And, you know, because of that, I give the Patriots a slight favorite, and realizing that San Francisco's coming in similar circumstances with their own fight within not only their own division but within their own conference in the NFC, and all things being equal, they got to travel and the Patriots don't. And I feel like that could end up being the breakdown. And that's why I favor them slightly. I'm not saying favoring them by a huge margin. I think 5.5 is way too big a nut. You know, that's, you got to keep in mind that what was the nut for Houston? It was 3.5, right? I believe it was going into the game. I believe it was 3.5. This is a wider nut, and I'm sure that it is probably predicated on the fact that the Patriots blew out the Texans.
Oh yeah, that has to be a factor in that.
And if that is indeed the case, well, then, you know, how do the Patriots respond? That is somewhat problematic.
And I don't know. I don't expect this to be like last week's game. I think this is going to be a much tighter game, not as many big plays either.
Well, I would tend to agree, only because I'm sure that, you know, well, here's the thing. Houston clearly last week tried to take away the Patriots, you know, short game, inside game, tried to take away Wes Welker. We saw that, and the Patriots were able to go over the top for one of the few times all year. And Houston said, okay, hey, guess what? You're going to have to beat us. If you're going to beat us, you're going to have to go over the top to do it, and we don't think you can. Well, obviously, Tom Brady proved them very wrong in that regard. So how does San Francisco then now decide to defend this team? And I think San Francisco has got to, based on their personnel, it seems to me that they've got to try to do what the New York Giants have done with some success. They're going to try to beat you with 4.
And they're going to
let those ends, you know, wreak havoc.
I think they can do it.
And, you know, is the Patriot offensive line going to be up to the task? And what that does then, if they're going to try to beat you with 4, that means then that conceivably that short game could be open again for the Patriots, and could be that Wes Welker has another big day and gets his 100 receptions, and that could be the case. I mean, how do you pick your poison? And, you know, it's almost as if, all right, you're not going to beat the Patriots. You need to pick a way for Brady to beat himself. And what is the more likely poison that the 49ers choose on Sunday night? You know, that's, I mean, again, this is all conjecture, and it's really fascinating conjecture to me. I mean, I'm fascinated to see how the 49ers are going to line up and try to, you know, play the Patriots offense, because I think that's the key to the matchup. I think that, you know, the 49ers will have some success moving the ball, and I think the Patriots will continue to make a big play or two on defense. But I think that the Patriots defense, based on what I've seen, will be able to limit San Francisco somewhat. I think the difference in this game is how much San Francisco's defense can slow down the Patriot offense. And I do think both teams will be somewhere in that 20 variety in terms of points.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's going to be a lower scoring than people are anticipating.
I don't think it's going to be a 14-13 slugfest, because I just think the Patriots have more talent than that. And I think that they, you know, they could end up kicking, you know, 4 field goals in the game. It's possible. And then a touchdown, and then you're already right there. But I think that if San Francisco is to win this game, number one, they cannot turn the ball over at all, not once. If they give up, you know, a significant return in the kicking game, it could spell defeat right there. San Francisco to come across the country to beat New England, to have a chance to slow down Tom Brady, whatever, they've got to play their near-perfect game. I'm banking that I don't think that they can make the cross-country trip to do that. And that's based on that's what my decision is on. I'm not saying they're a bad football team at all. Quite the contrary. You know, we get on a neutral field with this team, and you play them in the Super Bowl, then in New Orleans, you know, in a matchup in February. Hey, that ought to be dynamite. It should be dynamite.
Are you excited at all to see Randy Moss?
I'm intrigued. I'm not really excited. I don't know that that's
okay,
the word.
Yeah, maybe it was the poor choice of word.
I'm a little intrigued by it only because I'd like to see how motivated he is and really, in all honesty, how motivated the 49ers are to utilize him because they really haven't thrown his direction that much. But he is out there. He is a threat. And knowing that he might be playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, that does add to the intrigue for Sunday night. There's no doubt about it. So I'm interested to see, you know, if a guy like Aqib Talib is going to be able to man up. And if he is going to...
Well, but is he on Moss or is he
on Crabtree? That's another question. That's another question. And is he even able to play physically?
Well, if you want, we can talk
Go
about,
for it.
Talk about practice today.
Let's step right into it.
The corners who got hurt, Talib, Alfonso Dennard, and even Kyle Arrington at the end hurt his knee. All of them practiced today. Now, I'm guessing they're all going to be limited.
That's good.
But saw them for a few minutes after stretching. Actually saw them take part in some drills. Saw them move around. And they were going probably, I'd say, between 50 and three-quarter speed that, for the drills. You know, they never go, you know, completely all out on those drills in the beginning. And none of them looked like they were severely limited or hampered in any way as far as how they were able to move around. Now, they'll probably be listed as limited in practice tonight when the injury report comes out. But all those guys were there. The only guy missing was Gronk. And I know a lot of you were hoping that he might be back this week or playing or practicing one of the
We did talk about this yesterday, that there were reports out there that he was going to try to play.
Right.
But he's not back out there yet.
No. So far, no. And after 2 days of practice, the likelihood that he is going to play this week is diminishing with each hour.
I'm not shocked by that.
Not either. Not at all. So, health-wise, they've got everybody except him able to be out there in
which
some
is still
some
a good thing.
Which
it's
is
still
at
a good
this
thing.
Time of year, it's a
and
good
and,
thing.
And right now, you know, my major concern, as I just stated a little while ago, my major concern would have to be with the relative health of the offensive line because they've got two ends that could come at you and wreak havoc.
Oh, yeah. They've got two ends. Well, yeah, I mean, their front seven, I think, is to be feared, rightly so, from either side, I think, not just the Smiths' side. I think Ahmad Brooks is excellent player.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks you need to worry about him as well. Don't just focus on the other side. And I think you're right. I think they'll attacked with their strength, which is their rush, their front seven.
I think they'll come after the Patriots. I don't think they'll do anything differently. I think what they'll realize is that, hey, when do the Patriots struggle the most? They've been able to rush with four and get Brady out of his comfort zone.
Right.
That's what the New York Giants did to win a couple of Super Bowl games. And I think they'll see that, and I think they'll say, look, if we're going to win this game, especially go on the road and win this game, we have to rush with four to where our coverage can still cover. And so that's why I think you'll see, I think more so this week than even last week, I think you might want to see the Patriots try to employ at least some
Steve
kind
Ridley
of... Yeah.
The ball
yeah,
more.
Yeah. Control the ball. You might see them go no huddle to keep, you know, substitutions again from coming in and out of the field, more so than you saw last week. They did a little. They didn't do it as much as I thought they would do, but that's because their game plan was to go over the top and attack Houston deep, and they did, and they burned them. I don't think you'll see them try to do that against San Francisco, especially if San Francisco is going to stay base with their defensive, employment. That's just kind of my thought here, but I think you'll see Wes Welker potentially become a bigger part of the overall game plan, more so than, you know, last week where we saw Brandon Lloyd.
And I don't think you'll see Wes drop four or five passes.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. That, to me, right now is a concern, and I know that was one of the nitpicks we talked about yesterday, but it is a concern, and it seems like as the weeks progress here, Welker is having at least two, if not more, drops per game. That is a legitimate concern, and until he stops, it's going to remain a concern. That's all there is to it. Listen, I love Wes Welker. I love Wes Welker as much as any Patriot fan out there. I hope he's back here. But you know as well as I do that I've maintained from day one, it ain't going to happen because he's not worth the money to the Patriots that he's going to be able to command in the open marketplace. It's a simple matter of economics. I hope that, you know, Wes decides, you know what, my future's in New England. If they'll sign me for 3-27, I'm in. Okay, there's still some conjecture as to whether or not the Patriots would ever do that. And I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but this is what you and I do so well.
Yeah, we love it.
The fact remains is that I don't think he's going to get that offer even from the Patriots, and he'll be able to command more than that on the open market most likely. I don't think they want to go for the franchise tag either, 1 year and 11-5 or whatever it'll end up being. I don't think they want to do that either because that's still going to count against the nut next year.
Yeah.
So, Welker, you know.
I think they will franchise him.
You think they will? You think they'll pay him the 11.5?
The way this season has played out, I do. I'm starting to think they will.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
That's because an awful lot of money tied up in four guys.
It
between
is.
Brady, Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez.
It is.
That's half of your roster.
But that's your core of your offense. That is your offense.
Wow. Big E stepping out with a prediction.
Yeah. And you can almost add Ridley. I wouldn't be surprised if Ridley gets an extension next year.
Well, now that one would not surprise me because I think he's deserved it. He's going to end up rushing for 1,300 some odd yards and could be end up being the second highest total in franchise history behind Corey Dillon's number.
Yeah.
So I would not be at all surprised, and it would certainly be deserved.
And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me either if Wes decides not to play hardball this year like he did. He didn't really play hardball last year.
I do
but
not care.
I don't
about
think he wanted.
Numbers.
I didn't even think Wes wanted to do what he did last year. I don't think he wanted to.
You think that was his agent doing the talking?
Just my gut talking. I haven't talked to Wes about this. I don't have any insight, so I'm just going with what I perceive out of him.
Right.
I think he loves it here. I think he loves his teammates. I think he loves his quarterback. I think
he
likes being
here. He loves Dr. Robert Leonard.
Well,
you guys should love Dr. Robert Leonard.
No, I'm not into the fake stuff.
It's not fake.
It's fake.
Come
it's
on.
Not, it's not real.
It's not real hair.
It might be real hair, but it's just not. It's not.
It's not your hair.
Well, it's now we're really going off on a tangent.
You think they're pulling it off a cadaver?
No,
somewhere?
But it's. You're fighting Mother Nature at that point. I don't like to play those.
So you
battles.
Like to go all natural?
I'm not going
to
fight.
All right, we don't need to go anymore. That's too much TMI.
Not going to fight it.
You've already given up the ghost,
brother. A long time ago. Yeah.
All right.
But I think he loves. I think Wes wants to be here.
Okay.
And something tells me it's not going to be a long, ugly, protracted thing. I think they'll tag him just to be safe and then maybe come up with a shorter-term deal for him. Again, I'm not basing that on anything inside knowledge-wise. I'm just a prediction.
Just a prediction.
Yeah,
all right, well, you know what? That's good because we really haven't had a chance to talk about that. That's an issue for off-season stuff, and I know that you guys do a weekly off-season show, and I'm sure that'll be a topic of conversation. Two off-season shows a week, right?
Yeah.
Because of the demand, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean we're actually considering bringing Playbook back for the off-season somehow? No.
There should always be a wrap-up show.
Well, there should be a wrap-up show, but there never is.
You know.
There never is. I don't think our program director wants to pay me for an off-season work, does he?
We did do one year, didn't we?
I don't think so. I've never done it. I have never done an off-season show, ever.
I thought we did one.
Ever.
Thought we did.
Mm-mm. Never. Okay, discussion for another day. Here's Jefferson in Salt Lake City. Jefferson, you're in the Playbook.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, Eric, I have to tell you, I agree 100% with your assessment on Welker and his situation. He just doesn't seem like the type of guy that really would want to play anywhere else. I mean, granted, he's probably going to be able to command a lot more dollar signs anywhere else, but he's probably not going to have the role that he has here in New England if he goes anywhere else. And, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, your legacy that you leave when you play, you know, in professional sports. I mean, you want to you want to perform to the best of your ability, and he just doesn't seem to me the type of guy that it's really going to be all about the money. I mean, he's going to have more success here, and if he has to do it for less, I mean, you see people like LeBron James and other people take lesser contracts because they want to win a championship, because they want to continue to play in a place that will give them the best opportunity to win. And if you look at the Patriots as an organization, which he's been here for now, what, 5 years? I think five years. Since 07. I mean, you got to think that he's bought in 100% into the whole mentality of, you know, we're here to do one thing, and that's to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, anybody who has contract disputes or anything like that, or, you know, just kind of a, man, I don't want to swear on it, but, you know, anybody who's just being kind of, you know, more about the money, they seem to let go immediately, and I don't see that happening with him. He seems, but again, I don't know the guy, and you probably got more inside information than me, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't think he's going anywhere, honestly, and maybe that's just the fan in me, you know, wishful thinking, but it seems to me like he'd prefer to stay in a place where he has a better opportunity, not only to perform individually, but also to win a championship, which I would hope is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and again, that's it's not something that I don't think he's thinking about right now, and I don't think the team is thinking about right now, but we're getting close to the time when they're going to have to start thinking about that because,
yeah.
I mean, it's almost January, and then a month later they're going to have to make that decision. So,
yeah, definitely.
And again, it's just the way this season has played out to me. I don't know. I'm just getting a sense. That's all it is. I'm not basing it on any information. It's just a sense that I get from seeing him and the way he acts around here, and you know.
Well, not only that, you mentioned he's part of the core of the offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, your offense, you've got key players. You got Tom Brady. You've got Wes Welker. You've got Rob Gronkowski. You got Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody else. I mean, as much as I love Deion Branch, and he's probably one of my favorite Patriots players of all time, they released him twice. I mean, he's a good complement to everything, but he's not a core part of the offense anymore.
Oh, no.
Got all these different pieces, all these different pawns that you bring in that do produce and, you know, bring points and bring yards and bring results to the team. But your core has got to be there. And if, like I said, you have to pay lesser individuals or bring in, you know, draft picks or whatever you need to do to, you know, surround really, you know, the core of your defense. Those are just frills at the end mm-hmm. of the day. And I think that the Patriots can continue to win so long as he's, you know, physically productive, which he's proven. You know, he's 31, 32. How old is West right now?
31, I believe.
31? I mean, you know, I mean, the little guy gets banged up, you know, more than most receivers in this league. I mean, he cuts across the middle. He doesn't avoid contact, and he still kicks. I mean, you never know. I mean, one bad hit obviously could take him out for, you know.
No, he's fully. He's back from that knee injury. I don't think that.
Oh no. Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, obviously he's getting, you know, a little bit long in the tooth in terms of, you know, how old you want your receivers to be, and if you want to push towards a younger team. But I mean, the guy is, you know, proved that not only can he come back from injury, but he can sustain, you know, physical health while he gets these beatings week in and week out.
Yeah, it is phenomenal for a guy his size to do that. And the other thing he has to consider, too, is would he be putting up these kind of numbers in a different offense?
That to me is the huge key right there. I mean, I think, and this is where I think I'd like to hear what Eric had to say about this because, quite frankly, this might be the spot for Wes, and he knows it. Just because the offense is predicated on having someone of his ability and his talents in order to be successful, he might not find this exact same situation even for $12 or $13 million a year. He's not going to find that anywhere else.
No, he's going to have to find a quarterback somewhere that's going to be able to deliver the ball like him, and you've got how many that can do that?
Yep.
You know, I mean, is Denver looking for a slot receiver like Wes Welker? I don't know.
I don't think Zach, so.
You put him in, you know, in a gun with a team that can pay him a whole bunch of money. I mean,
and he has to look at it too. Like, if he gets franchised again, at what it'll be about
11.5 million.
He got $9 million this year. So over 2 years, he got $20 million guaranteed.
Yeah,
at the very least. And even if they extend him for 2 years at something else, he's going to get at least $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might look at that and say,
That ends up being about 4 years and $40 million.
Yeah, that might be way more than he ever thought he was ever going to be able to make. I don't know. Maybe he'll play hardball. Maybe he will test the market. I could be completely off base here, but something just tells me that he's going to be back in one shape or another.
Yeah, I agree with you. I had one more question. I'm sorry to keep taking up so much time.
No, don't worry about it.
Eric, I missed the last part of PFW, and I didn't catch your pick for this week.
I picked San Francisco.
Did you really?
I did. I went San Francisco 18-15 in a low scoring. 18. It's going to be a really ugly, boring game, but it's going to be an ugly game that disappointing in that it's not going to have a lot of the big plays that we saw last week.
Wow, and last week didn't sway your opinion whatsoever, huh?
No, actually, in fact, it swayed it more because I don't think you can possibly have two games like that in a row against two really good teams.
Well,
what about I'm just gonna play the other side of the coin here. But what about a San Francisco team that's not used to playing in the weather of New England, happen to travel cross country, and you've got a rookie quarterback? I mean, you had Matt Schaub.
Second year. Let's be factually accurate. He's a second year quarterback.
You're right. He is a second year quarterback, but not a whole lot of playing time.
Right.
I mean, I'm from Utah, so I obviously have a little bit of a bias with Alex Smith. Kind of pisses me off that whole situation. I understand it from an athletic point of view, but it irritates me that somebody who's, won 11 out of the last 14 games for his team gets benched. But the thing with, I mean, you have Matt Schaub, who's, been in the league for, 5 years now, shaking in his boots when he came up against
more
the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you think that, more than that. But, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, you really think that he's going to be able to perform to the level that he needs to beat the New England Patriots? I mean,
Russell Wilson did.
Yeah, and sometimes younger quarterbacks don't know any better.
Yeah.
Honestly, they just don't know any better.
I agree with that 100%. That game, but you're also playing in Seattle, which is one of the hardest places to play in the entire league, and the Patriots had to go cross country to compete against that team. And let's face it, I mean, that was pretty early in the season when we really didn't know what Seattle was. And, I mean, we didn't really know who Russell Wilson was. He had a couple good games under his belt, but I mean, he certainly wasn't in the rookie of the year conversation. I mean, everybody was still talking about Andrew Luck and RG3.
Yeah.
But, now you're looking at the opposite happening, somebody coming all the way across the country to Gillette and playing against Tom Brady. And, I mean, the only thing that their offense, they've got Michael Crabtree, they've got Randy Moss, but I don't think their offense.
They have Vernon Davis, they have Frank Gore.
They're
not slouches on offense either.
No, but I think that Houston's got a better offense than San Francisco's, and at least in terms of scoring. But you're looking at a team that went toes with St. Louis twice and lost, to St. Louis, and that's a team that we absolutely demolished. And I know that that's not really a comparison that you can make because teams have different matchups. But I respect the fact that you're always objective. I just didn't see it, man. I don't know if Kevin's predicting a blowout again this week, but he hasn't
made his pick yet. Yeah,
he hasn't.
No,
I gotta go on record saying I think this is going to be minimum 20-point blowout for the Patriots.
Wow,
but who knows? We'll see.
Wow. Really?
Oh boy.
Yeah, all right, Jefferson, give us a score then, because we all year long we've been waiting for somebody to predict the exact score to give away a yearbook. So you might as well take a shot.
I predict Patriots 42, San Francisco 17.
Almost the exact same score. It's last week.
Almost the exact same score. I just don't.
Wow.
I just don't see it. I mean, you look at you. If it snows in Foxborough, goodbye, San Francisco.
It doesn't look like that's the forecast right now.
But we might have rain again.
Might have some rain. Yeah. But the rain wasn't a factor on Monday night.
It wasn't. It stopped. The rain stopped. Field was covered. It was no factor at all. But
the weather was beautiful.
We might have precipitation again. However.
Yeah, well, and if it's rain, I don't think that's going to cause that big of a problem for San Francisco, because I'm certain they're not really, they're no strangers to rain down there.
That's true, but I wonder how much it does take away from their, their zone read option that they like to do to get, a guy like Kaepernick out on the edge. That to me is a huge key in whether or not the Patriots decide to shadow him with, say, a guy like Gerard Mayo or somebody else to keep him from being able to beat the Patriots with his legs.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that scares me. I mean, you saw the Patriots' defensive line, get some pressure on Russell Wilson, which is, pretty comparable to me in terms of, quarterback play, but he was always able to get away and make some sort of big play. And that's the only thing that scares me about Kaepernick. But I just, I don't know. I just don't see it. You know, I mean, like I said, I you know, certainly don't want to disrespect your pick, Eric. And, you know, I always enjoy listening.
Well, that's all right. Everybody else does, Jefferson, so it's okay.
Yeah, no. I'm not from that school. You know, I think everybody, you know, has their own opinion. And,
of course.
You know, I just don't see it, man. I think the Patriots are really going to turn it on. And I think Mayo is going to make life hell for Kaepernick this week. And I think he's going to get his bell rung a couple of times. I just hope that our offensive line can keep Tom Brady from getting the same done from them.
You're not fooling me, Jefferson. You're just saying that because you want Alex Smith to get back in the game.
I absolutely do want Alex. I'm telling you, man, that guy has got one of the worst rackets, you know, that any quarterback has had in this league. I mean, just changing offensive coordinators, you know, having no offensive line, getting hurt twice, you know, it irritates me. You know, I mean, coming from an Urban Meyer system, you know, going undefeated with a spread offense, it's just one of those situations that you take a look at and say, if he'd gone to another team, it might have been night and day. I mean, you know, what if Tom Brady had gone to a team that had no offensive line and just lit him up for the first three or four years of his life? You know, he might be non-existent.
That's legit.
I love Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady more than anybody except for maybe John Stockton. But
but
I'll let you guys get back to it. Enjoy the show, and thanks for letting me steal some time.
Yeah, no problem, Jefferson. He brought good stuff to the table. Although I think 42-17 might be a few too many points.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? If he's right, then by all means, he has an open invitation to come back and gloat next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
Open invitation to gloat. All right. Alvin in Texas. Alvin, you're up next in the playbook.
Yeah, well, I got a serious problem with Eric's pick. Like, man, I don't want to dog him or hate him, but how many games has the Niners played the last two games? I mean, have they played in Cali?
Games have they played the last two games? I'm going to say two.
Yeah, I mean, like, Cali.
I'm
going to
say they played two
one.
Games in the last two games.
Give him a chance,
so
Eric.
They've been playing in Cali, right?
What was their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, who have they played the last 2 weeks? I've got to look at their schedule. Who have they played, Alvin?
No, the last game they played at Cali. I don't know the last game before. But I mean, the reason I'm bringing this thing up.
What does that matter? Why does it matter? Doesn't
it bring there's a time frame slot? You know, because they were playing in San Francisco. Now they're playing at Gillette Stadium, which is New England. Don't you think that's going to affect the Niners? You know, different sleeping and all that stuff.
Time zone difference, you're saying?
Yes. Yes, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. It affects every team that has to travel.
They played at home against Miami last week and on the road in St. Louis the week before.
Okay.
And here's my main topic about don't you think, like, what happens if it goes to, like, a shootout? Or what happens if Brady, goes on fire and scores?
Aren't shootouts in hockey?
Well, I think what he's trying to get at here, fellas, is quite frankly, you know, he likes the Patriots' chances if the game gets into a shootout. But here's the problem, Alvin. Don't know if San Francisco's defense is going to allow that to happen, because as good as we thought Houston's defense might have been a week ago, the Patriots did figure out a way to shred it. San Francisco brings a different defense to the table. In fact, we'd probably say from top to bottom a better defense than anything else that the Patriots have seen this year. So I'm not so sure that the game is going to be able to get into the offensive shootout that maybe you envision, simply because San Francisco's defense isn't going to allow it.
And Brandon Jacobs, is he like the first running back, or he's like the second running back?
He's a non-factor.
He's a non-factor. He's out for the year.
Yeah, he's done.
So no, it's because the thing is that, like, I don't like Eric's opinion. I mean, Eric's pick. I mean, I was shocked. Like, what do you mean he's going
to
be like that?
Well, you don't have to like his pick, but I mean, Alvin, everybody here has an opportunity to give their opinion. And frankly, I like the fact that we have differing opinions, because if we all agreed here, then it would be kind of boring, don't you think?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I'm not a hater about Eric. I mean, I'm actually like a bandwagon with Eric. Eric's cool.
All right, we'll see. Now you've gone from being hated on to being cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alvin.
Right,
we appreciate the call, buddy. Let's get Alex in Michigan in here. Alex, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I just got a cool question for Eric, mainly for you too, but something I haven't heard no one talk about all week long in the Patriots radio is knowing the factor. Or I know it's divisional, but then whenever people say that, I want to see people say, like, about the Dolphins and the Seahawks. But the Rams tie, or sorry, the Rams tied Niners, and then they lost the Niners, and we blew out the Niners on a neutral ground. What do you guys think about that? I haven't heard nobody talk about that a week.
All right, say that
Wait,
again now.
You lost me there.
Yeah, run that by again one more time.
How the Niners tied the Rams, and then how they lost to the Rams, and then we blew out the Rams.
Oh, so you're using common opponent here, is what you're saying.
I just want to see what you guys think about that. Even though it's divisional, but then like you can say like divisional about how Miami beat Seahawks in Miami, but...
Yeah, I don't really buy into that whole rationale either because...
Yeah, I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
Because I don't think those matter when you line up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that has any bearing on the upcoming game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Arizona. Came here and won a game.
I think each game is a separate entity, Alex.
It doesn't really play in.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a divisional game, you might think about it a little bit more because you play a team twice and you really don't want to lose it. And I understand that, you know, obviously St. Louis more than held their own against San Francisco and the Patriots blew out St. Louis. But when the Patriots played St. Louis, they played them in London for number one. So both teams had to travel. Number two, St. Louis had to be out there taking care of all these NFL duties because they were the home team and that thing. And it was easy for them to be distracted. And it didn't really surprise me that the Patriots won that game. And so now they're, you know, focused on, hey, this game against San Francisco means more to our season potentially than that game against New England did in London. So I think, you know, you can look at this several different ways. And the fact that a divisional rival you're going to see again, you're probably not going to show up. You're not going to put all your eggs in one basket for the first time you play them. And then the second time around, it might not grab your attention based on where you are in the standings. And I think that's kind of what happened with San Francisco. They were way ahead at that particular time.
And so what did they do against Seattle?
Yeah.
What have the Niners done against Seattle this year? Because New England lost to Seattle, right?
Right. So
if you're going to use that rationale.
You got to look at both sides.
Oh, yeah.
You got to look at both sides. That's all I'm saying. It's not a bad rationale, and it's not a bad thing that you're bringing to the table here. But the fact remains is that, all right, that's fine. You're going to bring that in. Then let's look at the other side of it as well.
Yeah. I got one more question for Eric.
Yeah.
You have us losing, right?
He does.
Yeah, I do.
How do you have the seeds finishing out? Do you have us winning out the last two games?
I think if they lose to San Francisco, they're not going to lose another game after that.
So they would be 12-4.
They would be 12-4.
And where will they finish?
I think they'll get the 2 seed.
Still?
Yeah, because I think, because I have the Broncos losing to the Ravens this week.
Okay.
So if it ends up with that chaotic tiebreaker scenario that we were talking about the week before, I think New England gets the tiebreaker by virtue of having beaten Denver.
Even though they lost to Baltimore, because it would be a three-way tie.
If it ends up being a three-way tie,
and each team is 1-1, and so
New England
would get
the tiebreaker for the 2 seed. So I think they still end up getting it by default.
So this is why, and we talked about this on yesterday's show, this is why you must, as a Patriots fan, root for Baltimore to beat Denver this weekend.
Yes, you must.
You must.
Mm-hmm. Ravens, no ifs, ands, or buts.
The only way that the Patriots survive a loss and still get a bye is for Baltimore to beat Denver. That's it.
You have to root for Baltimore.
All right, guys, I'll let you go then.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. We still need some predictions here, gang. Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Let's see what we have here.
Facebook stuff coming in here?
Facebook stuff is coming in. Okay, here's Tim. Here's Tim. I'm actually inclined to go with Eric regarding Wes. I'm starting to think something might be different this offseason with him. Tom has been his biggest fan, and he himself has taken less money than he could have gotten. He could make the Hall of Fame if he continues to put up 100 catch seasons and caps it with a ring. Who's better? Where better can he achieve those goals? I disagree with Eric, however, about the game. I think the Pats will handle the 49ers. A couple of Kaepernick turnovers will be the difference, and he says 28-20 Pats. Finally, I never listen to Patriot Radio during the offseason, but only because there's nothing on worth listening to. One vote here for keeping Playbook on the air. That's my man right there.
Wow.
That's my brother from another mother.
Who was he saying has taken less money before? Was he saying Brady? In his first paragraph there?
Yeah, I think so.
Brady has taken less money?
Tom himself been his fan. He himself has taken less money than he could have gotten.
Is he talking about Brady? Because that's a fallacy.
Is that right?
Didn't he restructure?
Didn't he restructure his contract to take less up front? Or take more up front, I should say?
Tom Brady hasn't been magnanimous as far as the amount. He has been generous in how it's when he gets it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He has not taken less money. That's a myth we need to shatter right now, if anybody still believes that.
Okay.
He has gotten as much money as he could possibly get from this organization.
Interesting. Let's see. All right, here's Felix from Houston. Guys, what's going on? Good win last week. Only Patriot fan in Houston. It felt great to gloat and rub it in everyone's face, okay? I'll make this fast. We weren't talking about teams that play third consecutive road game have struggled historically against the home team. Also, that combined with the Pats' win in December win streak, it brews for the perfect storm. Expect Bill to blueprint Jeff Fisher's defense to not stop but at least slow down Kaepernick. He says 31-14. Patriots.
Boy, a lot of points.
Hope I get the yearbook.
A lot of points.
All right, Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. Don't have time to say much today because I am super busy at the office. I'm just going to send in my prediction. I'm calling the game Patriots win 34-24.
Wow, these big scores.
Okay.
People are confident.
Okay.
People are really confident in these high-scoring
games. That's someone trying to sell me some sort of
a product?
Male enhancement thing.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I don't need that.
Well, you are of age, I mean.
Wow. Yes, that's true. I am of age. let's see what else we have. Come on. Oh, now it's going nuts on me here. It's not moving. Here we go.
That's what
well, maybe
said.
You do need, maybe you do need the
that.
Male enhancement.
I knew
product.
You were going to say that. See, I set you up. Who takes care of you better than me, right? Who takes
Nobody.
Care of you
better?
Thank you. All right. Just want to make sure that you understand that. Oh, see, now this is another. Come on. What is up with these stupid people are trying to sell you things? I'm not answering, okay?
It's just the
By
spam
the way,
that comes into the web radio.
I understand.
Felix from Houston isn't the only Pats fan down there. We got a couple of emails from there's actually a Houston Patriots fan club.
That's
cool.
Yeah,
we got a picture.
It's pretty
big.
We got several pictures from, I think, the organizer or the administrator for that group. They had a huge party at some sports bar down
there. Yeah, it looked
like
a lot of fun.
On Monday night. They took over the joint.
Yeah, and they called into the pregame social, so we appreciate that.
So try to hook on with those guys, Felix. They're look them up. Houston I'm not sure exactly what the name of the group is.
What the name of the group is.
But look up Houston Patriots fans somehow. What, you know, do a Google search for it.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll find something.
All right. So we need your predictions. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. It's Prediction Thursday, so if you're just listening and you're busy at work like Josh in Charlottesville, then just type in a score and send it. You can go to the Facebook page and you can post it. You can use the chat function. You can send it to me via Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. Send the email, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. I guess we're just, you know, what happened the last time that Patriots Nation was supremely confident in itself?
I don't know.
I think that they've had a tendency to stumble and fall when that's the case. Eric has already said 18-15 Niners.
I'm going to go.
I've said 20-17 Patriots.
I'm going to go 24-16 Patriots.
So taking the Pats by 8 to cover the spread.
Cover, huh? I think they're going to cover, but it's going to be a lower scoring, kind of ugly
cover
contest.
And so it'll be a lower scoring cover, but a cover nevertheless.
I respect the Niners defense much more than I respect the Houston defense.
All right, well, keep in mind now that Kevin's the one that picked the blowout. He's the only one that picked
the
blowout last
week.
And
I don't think there's going to be nearly as many points as last week scored. And I'm with Eric in saying that I don't think there's going to be nearly as many big plays. I think it's going to be a plodding, kind of smash mouth, methodical, kind of ugly game. In a cold, wet rain, it looks like.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any touchdowns in this game either. 18-15. It's all field goals. That would really suck, wouldn't it? God, I hope my prediction is wrong. I don't want to see that.
No, I think we all want an entertaining game. Yeah. We want, you know, the national spotlight to shine on Foxborough, certainly, hopefully, the Patriots will come out on top. We're just trying to somewhat analytical here.
How many times do we get disappointed by these so-called hyped games of the century?
And they don't turn out the way.
And they don't turn out the way they should.
That happened last week.
Yeah.
It happened last week.
Oh, so maybe we're due for a good one.
Here's Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Great show.
Thank you.
My prediction for the game is 38-13 Patriots.
Oh, wow.
God.
Wow.
Yeah.
38-13. All right.
38-13.
Based on what, Bill?
Well, based on the fact that Kaepernick is a young quarterback, I don't think Brady does it all alone. I think this defense is going to take advantage of a few turnovers, turn them into points on the San Francisco offense. But Brady probably will be under pressure a little bit by that defense. I'm hoping that, you know, they just use the front four and stay in maybe a nickel. That way he can run the ball a little bit more.
All right.
But I think Brady's only going to put up maybe 2-3 touchdowns, and our defense and special teams each get to score.
Okay. All right, yep. Bill in Connecticut.
Also,
yep.
Also, I will say this. If we should somehow manage to lose this game, I don't think that would be a bad thing either, because I think in years past, we've done so well in the second half of the season, we don't know what it's like to experience defeat until we're deep into the playoffs. But if we take a loss this part of the year, the second half of the year, I think we'd be really, I mean, even more focused and run right through the playoffs.
Okay.
Just another perspective.
It is. It's a different perspective. Thanks, Bill. And let's see if we can get Daryl in New Brunswick in here. Daryl, you're in the playbook.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good, Daryl. All right. What do you think?
I got to say, I mean, with their defense and their linebackers being San Francisco, this is going to be a tight game. It's almost like a pick'em football game. I'd say it's going to be separated by a field goal or less. Like my thinking is going to be like 24-23. I hope we're going to win. I think that's going to be our score to win that game.
All right. Because
we got to hold them. We got to get finally someone logical. Like that,
all right, so
we're not going to score over 30 points on those guys.
I don't think so. They would have to turn the ball over, I think, multiple times for to even have a chance to do that.
Or get some defensive or special teams scores.
The thing I really like though in this game is the fact that you have a guy like Kaepernick. He's in his second year, but I mean he's basically a rookie, right? I mean, and Bill Belichick's record against rookies is pretty phenomenal. Like I know Russell Wilson got one over on us this year, but first time facing the Patriots is kind of a scary task. I really think with that and home field, it's enough for us to win.
Very good. All right. That sounds like a plan.
Thank you very much.
All right. 24-23, Patriots, says Daryl in New Brunswick. All right. Before you go, do we have time for, because we didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
All right, we didn't do one yesterday, John, so I'll have to give you two to make up for it. Is that all right?
Go for it.
Okay. First one is limb. Not L-I-M-B, L-I-M-N. Limb.
L-I-M?
Mm-hmm. N. L-I-M.
L-I-N.
L-I-M-N.
Limb, and it's pronounced limb?
Yep, which means to describe in a, sort of describe as if painting in a flourishing type of way, like very flowery language, to limb.
So you have to use that in a sentence.
Because,
dude, I'm not buying that one.
Okay. Who was the guy that wrote in Tim earlier limbed about his prediction for the game.
So it could be an adjective, is what you're saying.
No, it was a verb.
It's a verb.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
To limb.
Oh, okay. To limb. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
The other one we'll go with.
That's a bizarre one. I'm sorry.
It is. It's a rare word. You don't really hear it very often.
Right.
But that's why we have the word of the day. That's what it's for.
Okay.
Garrett.
Garrett?
Yes.
G-A-R-R-E-T?
T.
Two T's?
Yes.
As in somebody's first name, potentially, Garrett?
Yes.
Or last name?
Yes. A Garrett... Oh, actually, no. Does it have one T or two? Now you're making me question myself.
Ah! See? And on that cue, the orchestra stops.
Yeah, he ran out of violin music.
I did. The violinist was like, what?
It's like, what?
What do you mean?
Eric is completely... He's questioning himself?
But anyway...
He's flummoxed.
A Garrett.
That's a good one, too, by the way.
Flummox. That's not a bad one either for some other show. A Garrett is
Andy Hart is a flummox.
He's a lummox.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got it. Oh, yeah, it's that one, too.
It's that one, yeah. That, too.
All right.
A Garrett is a room on the top floor of a house or building, typically with a sloped roof, a.k.a. an attic. So a garret is another word for an attic.
An attic. Mm-hmm. Okay, a garret, an attic. All right, very good. I'll see you Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
If not before then. Should be fun.
Sunday afternoon, probably.
Sunday afternoon, yeah. Yeah, we have to get here about 18 hours before kickoff, so in order to avoid
it's
the traffic
bad.
And everything.
Game days actually go by, they're long days, but they go by very quickly, I think. Don't you?
Yes. Yes, game days usually do, because they're busy. I mean,
it's
we're busy.
It's the next day that sucks.
Yeah. Monday kind of blows. Yeah.
But that's a quick day, too, because you're already half asleep from having stayed up the day before.
Kind of.
So. Mondays are tough for me. I fell asleep this past, or so Monday was a Tuesday.
Yes, Monday was a Tuesday.
For the first time in
3
years, I fell asleep in my chair.
Right. Oh, nice.
Well, I'm going to go to the locker room in a few minutes. So.
All right, sounds like a plan.
We'll talk to you
See
on
you Sunday.
Sunday.
All right, we'll take a timeout here, gang. Keep your cards and letters coming, as the saying goes, with your predictions. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. On the Ace Ticket Hotline, John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter account. And then coming up, Russell Baxter in the playbook.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure. How many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow. So that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grit. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two inside the playbook for a prediction Thursday on Patriots.com radio. And by the way, if you're on the phones, a couple of you are, and we've got a bunch of emails that just started pouring in. Thank you for your response. Hang on, all right? Hang on, because we have appointment listening here, and we don't want to keep Mr. Baxter, our profootballguru.com expert. Good afternoon, Mr. Baxter. How are you?
Mr. Rook, how are you?
Excellent. So, what were your thoughts? What was your initial impression as you watched Monday night unfold and basically watched New England do what they did to Houston?
That I've seen them do this to other teams before, and contrary to popular statements, that was not the biggest game in the history of the Houston Texans. This might be this week or the week after or whatever.
Yeah. Usually when teams do that, they really kind of target the next game or the next couple after that as even bigger games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I understand to a degree of trying to, for lack of a better word, psyching yourself up and, trying to make that. And listen, it was a showdown game. There's no question about it. But the key word in showdown is show.
Mm-hmm.
And one team did, and one team didn't, unfortunately. And listen, I the thing that struck me more than anything else, it wasn't the fact that New England scored those points, because New England can do that to a lot of teams and very good teams in their building.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. They have done that over the last 10 years or so. That can be a really rough place to play. But the person that stood out to me the most, and not in a good sense, was Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, to me, looked like a quarterback who was pushing the football Monday night instead of throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
He looked tentative. The interception he threw over the middle, it didn't have a lot of zip on it. It was a touch pass that absolutely had no touch. But for most of the night, he looked like he was aiming rather than throwing. And just too precise. Listen, Houston's defense has struggled for about a month. They're hurting at linebacker, and they're hurting in the secondary. They've given up 120 points in the last four games. You know, a lot of people like to point out, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, elite quarterbacks, have lit them up. This is in no disrespect to Chad Henne, but he threw four touchdown passes against the Houston Texans a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And that's, to me, is more a sign. Listen, they gave up 37 points to the Jaguars, 31 to the Lions, 42 to the Patriots. They're having some big problems with their pass rush because they're all banged up at linebacker. Jonathan Joseph has been banged up, their best cornerback. It's how the season is. It's a season of hanging in and enduring. And this was a team that dealt with a lot of injuries last year. To their credit, they won a couple of high-scoring games, but you're not going to win them all. So the other thing that ran through my mind, John, to be quite honest with you, is I've seen this before when New England has done this 2 years ago to the New York Jets on a Monday night. And, of course, we saw what happened about a month later in the divisional playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So what this really did more than anything else is put the New England Patriots just one game behind the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
In terms of, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, this is not a BCS system. You don't get extra points for a win. But people are so quick to point out, I know the Patriots have lost three games by 4 points this year. But as I like to counter back, they also won three Super Bowls by 9 points. So it doesn't matter what you win by. The bottom line is winning. And you're not going to get extra style points because you blow out the Ravens. Or I mean, listen, go back and think about the division leader games that we have seen, John.
Right.
Baltimore lost at 30 by Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did that affect them the rest of the year? I mean, listen, they've lost two straight, but seems like they have other issues there.
Yeah, they do.
New England was manhandling Denver. They turned out to be a 10-point spread, but at one time that game was a lot further away. We just saw what New England did to Houston. New England also lost to Baltimore, although that was by 1 point. So, listen, they're all kind of beating each other up. Nobody's come out of here without beating the other, not beating or beating all three teams. And now we have Denver and Baltimore this week, which will be interesting because Peyton Manning's always had great success against the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Broncos have never beaten the Ravens in Baltimore. So something obviously is going to give there as well.
All right. Well, let's then jump into several of these games that are going to have huge implications, not only in the playoff race, but certainly could end up in a roundabout way affecting or not affecting the Patriots and their stance, depending upon what happens, of course, in the Sunday night game against San Francisco. And let's start with the Sunday game with Denver at Baltimore. And as we've maintained, if the Patriots stumble this weekend against San Francisco, Patriots fans, as disgusting as it may be, must root for Baltimore to hold serve at home.
Yeah, that's what it is. If you're trying to get that bye week, you know, the pecking order is pretty set. Houston, even though they lost, they are still in the driver's seat in terms of the number one seed. And I don't know if anybody wants to go down, unless you're Green Bay. I don't know if anybody wants to go down and play Houston down in Houston. Of course,
right.
They still need to get a little healthier, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got two games with the Colts in the next 3 weeks. They've got some tricky stuff as well. But Denver's the hottest team if you go by the streak, 8 wins in a row. Baltimore's lost 2 in a row, which doesn't often happen to them. And very, very interesting that Cam Cameron was let go with 3 games to go, the offensive coordinator. Interesting because the Ravens come off a game in which they scored 28 points on the road. Now, I know they only had to take a cab to get the ball, you know, from Baltimore to Washington.
Right,
okay, it wasn't
right.
a long trip.
Right.
But they've had trouble scoring points on the road. They scored 28. Their defense gave up 31. And yet they fire the
offensive coordinator, which, you know, it's another story, I know, but I just find it curious that they do that.
Well, I find it curious, too, and I also find it curious who is the offensive coordinator. And that would be Jim Caldwell now, who was hired there earlier in the year as the quarterback's coach.
Right, former Colts head coach.
Former head coach. And isn't it interesting? You know, how do you beat Peyton Manning, or if you want to put it in that context? How do you beat? You try and keep him off the field.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I seem to remember Jim Caldwell himself taking Peyton Manning off the field at the end of the 2009 season.
Mm-hmm.
When they looked like they had a shot in an undefeated season. They wound up losing the Super Bowl that year. I'm not saying it's Jim Caldwell's fault. But who knows better about getting Peyton Manning off the field than Jim Caldwell? And how he does it is a steady dose of Ray Rice. Now, that Denver defense has played pretty good. And if I would have told you last week that it was no Sean Moreno and not Ray Rice who had 32 carries, I think you would have thought I had a typo.
Yeah.
But 32 carries indeed for no Sean Moreno. I don't know if he can do that in back-to-back weeks. But we'll see. Very, very intriguing game. Almost too close to call. We have now seen the Ravens lose games on a field goal in the final play of the game in back-to-back weeks. The Steelers beat them in Baltimore on the Swisham field goal at the gun, and now the overtime field goal against the
Redskins.
That AFC North, even though the Ravens are 2 games up on Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, I think that's far from a done deal.
You like Denver this weekend?
I'm leaning toward it. I think I'm kind of leaning toward it. I just think they're playing more consistent football. I think the Ravens have been shaken a little.
Yeah.
I really do.
I would kind of agree with that. But like I said, Patriots fans have to hope that the Ravens get it back together again just because you want to, you know, hey, that's the way that you can still get a bye even if you stumble this Sunday night. Now,
absolutely.
The other intriguing matchup, certainly that has AFC ramifications, has Indianapolis playing at those aforementioned Houston Texans. And the Colts are 2 games back with 3 to play, and 2 of those 3 games are still against the Houston Texans. So division title very much up for grabs here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, listen, and Indianapolis can get in the playoffs this weekend, which you want to talk about a great story.
It is a good story.
Fabulous story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's also funny because there's so much attached to Andrew Luck, and rightfully so. He's had the dynamite year. But the one thing I keep hearing about is the comeback wins for the Colts. And, you know, not to be disrespectful to Andrew Luck, but, you know, he has committed his share of turnovers on the season. So some of those comebacks are actually reflective of some of his early play. But the thing that makes it so great, and you know, you say it because you sound like you're criticizing, and in a way you are, but in a way you aren't, because the thing about Andrew Luck that is remarkable is, so he throws four interceptions. He doesn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the game when they beat Detroit when they came back for, you know, from double digits down in the fourth quarter?
Sure.
He finished the day with four touchdown passes and three picks. Okay,
yeah.
So listen, you know, he spreads the luck, for lack of a better word.
Right, right.
But they also dig themselves some hole because of his mistakes. That's why you look, they're near the bottom of the league in turnover differential. They don't force a lot of turnovers, okay? But they have, I mean, I want to say he's turned it over himself 21 or 22 times. So some of those holes are self-dug, but they've managed to get out of them a lot this year. And who would ever forget the playoffs? Who would ever thought this team would have a winning season?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, they're no worse than 9-7. But if they do win any one of their last three games, they're going to keep alive a remarkable streak, which probably means absolutely nothing, but I just think it's cool. The Indianapolis Colts since 1997, John, have either won 10 games or lost 10 games. You want to talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, the last time they didn't was 1996 when they went 9-7, I believe.
Wow.
So they're either awful and out, or usually in the playoffs and in.
So 10-6.
They can't get to 10 losses, but they certainly can get to 10 wins.
So a minimum 10-6 or 6-10.
Yes.
Wow, that is a rather incredible streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, listen, it's kind of, it's a head scratcher. It's like, They either are a great story, or they, you know what to bet, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. I kind of like the Texans to bounce back a little bit just this week, just because they're at home. And I think we'll probably get a truer sense, but I certainly wouldn't rule the Colts out of this one.
Well, not at all. And I will point out two significant factors, too. One thing we really learned about the Texans on Monday night is when they give up exactly 42 points, they lose. when they don't, they're 11-0.
Yeah.
But more significantly, the last time everybody started scratching their head about the Texans and how they would respond after a loss, they squeaked by the Ravens by 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to note. Something to note. That's a good one. I like that one. There's another game that has maybe survival written all over it on Sunday, and it has a huge old-school feel to it as well, with the Steelers playing at the Cowboys. Now, I realize this may or may not really directly affect the Patriots, but just because it's got that old-school feel, both teams are 7-6. A loss could take either one of these two teams out of the playoff mix, although the way things are these days, probably not entirely, but let's just say it makes it imminently more difficult for either one of those teams to squeeze in with a wild card if they lose. I'm actually looking forward to watching this one a little bit on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, what is the over-under on Lynn Swann, Larry Brown?
Roger Staubach,
Hollywood Henderson.
Terry Bradshaw.
They're still the only teams to meet in the Super Bowl three times. And they're still the two teams who have made more Super Bowl appearances than any other.
Mm-hmm.
They've both been there eight times. The Steelers have won six. The Cowboys have won five.
Right.
It is an old school. It is one of those fun, traditional meetings, and you know, the last time they played in Pittsburgh 4 years ago, the Cowboys had them dead to rights, and it was the year that the Steelers won their last Super Bowl. It was a really exciting game where Romo got picked off in the fourth quarter and run back for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think you probably remember that game.
Yeah.
But you know, different circumstances. You know, Dallas did what it had to do last week. Gut check win. Awful circumstances. It's a shame we have to talk about this in the NFL 2 weeks in a row, you know, regarding a player's death, but it was a big win for them in Cincinnati and a head-scratcher for the Steelers at home, who had never lost to the Chargers in Pittsburgh in the regular season, but obviously the Chargers did not get that email, you know, from anybody.
Right.
And, you know, Pittsburgh lost by 10, but it actually looked worse at that at times. They looked really, really flat. Now, the one thing about the Cowboys, they're at home, which they've been a very perplexing home team. 3-3. They've got two straight at home. They have the Steelers and the Saints. This again is a tough call. I mean, I think Pittsburgh can run the ball on Dallas. I'm kind of leaning toward the Steelers here, but I'm also going to be very interested to see what happens tonight. I know it sounds odd when teams are watching other teams, but this AFC North is really interesting. All these teams are either playing an NFC East team or they're playing each other. And I think if Pittsburgh loses this week, and even if Cincinnati wins, Pittsburgh's not – the only reason that Pittsburgh's kind of helped themselves or saved themselves is the fact that they get Cincinnati at home next week, and they've already beaten the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So the Steelers closing home with the Bengals and the Browns. That doesn't mean that that's easy, because both of them are playing very, very good football, and the Steelers, you know, you don't often hear the word inconsistency with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they have been an up-and-down team this year.
Yes, they have. And, of course, you're referring to the game tonight. The Thursday night game has Cincinnati playing at Philadelphia. All right, there are two other games. Both of them are in the NFC, and both of them certainly have playoff and or division title implications. Giants playing at the Falcons, and the Packers are playing at the Bears. Of those two games, which one do you think stands to which one does the road team have the better shot at?
Well, I know this sounds like an odd stat, but it's true. The last time the Atlanta Falcons beat the New York Giants in Atlanta was 1978.
Wow, that long ago?
The Giants have won seven straight at Atlanta, be it Fulton County Stadium or the Georgia Dome. Now, for the most part, Atlanta has also beaten the Giants in New York a lot of times, too. Of course, last year is that dirty score that got, you heard it all offseason. The Falcons scored 2 points against the Giants.
Mm, that's right.
2 points. They lost 24-2 in the playoff game.
That's right. That's right.
But I want to say the Giants have now beaten them four straight overall. And you know, I think this is a very, very important game for the Falcons because the thing that we have talked about all year with them has not been there, to me at least, this label that they have, to me, is less about their failures in the playoffs and more about how they play football these days. Last week again, struggled to run and couldn't stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
For the second time this season, I know Cam Newton had a bunch of the yards. Doesn't matter. It's running is still running. The second time this year they played the Falcons, and the Falcons got over 190. I'm sorry, the Panthers got over 190 yards rushing against Atlanta.
Right.
They give up 100 yards far too often on the ground than they should. And, you know, you see with the Giants last year, it's about their time of the year. And the Giants, it's, you know, it's funny, even though Atlanta didn't win the division last year, John, the Giants have really saved their best for the quote-unquote better teams, I guess. They just completed a sweep. Now, I know New Orleans is down this year, obviously. But I don't. You tell me what you make of this. They just completed a sweep of the Niners, the Packers, and the Saints. All those teams won divisions last year.
Right.
Okay? They beat the three of them by a combined score of 116-40.
Mm.
Beat the Niners by 23. They beat the Packers by 28. And they beat the Saints by 25. Okay? Now, of course, they also have lost five games this year.
Yeah.
Including three within the division.
Right.
You never quite know what you're going to get with the Giants. These days, I don't know. I mean, here Atlanta's coming off a loss. And much like coming off their last loss, they responded. They need to respond here. I know the Giants are running the ball better. I'm kind of leaning toward Atlanta because I think this is a week that they're going to try to – they really need to make a statement here. I'm not saying they need to establish themselves as the favorite in the NFC.
But nobody believes in the Falcons, Russell, and I think you're right about that. I think they do
right.
Have to make a statement before they get to the postseason.
I don't think there's any question about it. Like I said, I'm sketchy on the Falcons because of the way they play. Most people are sketchy. I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people are sketchy. How many times you hear it? They haven't won a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah, it's legit. It's totally legit.
No, it is legit. I'm not disputing the legitimacy, okay? I'm saying the reason I'm concerned watching them play is it's not the fact that they don't blow people out. It's the fact that they get pushed around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the playoffs, everybody pushes hard. That's not the kind of football that you want to come in here. Listen, we saw it last year. All the yards and all the points that the Saints and the Packers put up last year, they wound up running into the much physical 49ers and the much more physical Giants. And it was San Francisco, New York in the title game, not Green Bay and New Orleans.
Right, Right.
So that's what that would be my concern. I'm not disputing the playoff. Maybe I'm just adding a little caveat that their style of football, I don't know, is going to serve them well when they get into the postseason.
Sure shows you that the Giants are volatile. You don't know what you're going to get, and you know maybe they don't even know what they're going to get, but you have to respect them because they're capable.
Well, listen, I've kidded. They're like a mood ring, okay?
That's a good one.
Let's not forget what we have seen here with them in recent years.
That's a good one.
Yeah, well, they are. And there's probably you, me, and a couple other people understand what I'm talking about. But remember what you have here. You have a team a couple of years ago that started out 5-0 and then ended 8-8 and lost 8 of its last 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team in 2010 that won 10 games and missed the playoffs. And last year, you had a Giants team that got swept the Redskins, gave up more points than it scored, and finished 9-7 and won the Super Bowl. If you can figure out the New York Giants, step to the head of the class.
Yeah, right. All right, so then let's turn our attentions then to the one game here that everybody is so certainly focused on, and I think that you know it's understandable that you know San Francisco at New England would bring a certain amount of excitement in amongst Patriots fans because of obviously the way the Patriots handled the Houston Texans this last Monday. But I think both games are completely different entities. I think both teams have different things than they need to be playing for. And as I suggested in the opening hour of our program today, you know, the fact of the matter is that both of these teams have relative strength that kind of neutralize each other. And when it comes right down to it, the 49ers are the team that have to travel 3,000 miles. So I give a slight edge to New England, but only slight.
Yeah, and you know, we have seen the Niners, when they have lost this year, they've gotten run on. And that's going to be a big part of this. They obviously, you know, they don't need a lot of 20 and 30 and 40-yard runs from Frank Gore. I'm sure they wouldn't mind that. But they could use a lot of 7 and 8s and 4s and 6s. And, again, keeping that Patriot team, which is 28 points away from scoring 500 points again.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that record before.
Right.
The Niners, since Jim Harbaugh took over, with the exception of the playoff game in which they beat the Saints 36-32, have not given up 30 points in a regular season game since he got there. And I know, so let's put it this way. Let's just do the math real quick. He's been the head coach overall for 31 games,
mm-hmm.
and only once has a team scored at least 30 points on the Niners.
That's a good one. That's
I mean,
a good
it's,
one.
It's, think about what they are. I mean, it's the ultimate clash. You've got the highest scoring team in the league against a team that has given up the fewest points. In fact, if you go back to the beginning last year, and I'm doing regular season only, John, the Niners have given up 413 points in their last 29 regular season games. Keep in mind the Raiders have given up 402 this year.
Alone, right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So even though those two cities are close in proximity, they're obviously not sharing the same philosophy.
They're not on the same planet defensively. No.
But then again, here we come with a Patriots team that literally scores on everybody. And, you know, long forgotten now is that start with the loss to the Cardinals and the loss to the Seahawks, which you remember is funny. Beginning of the year, the Patriots, always a team that was great against the NFC, really had its issues with those losses to Arizona and Seattle. Who would have ever thought that?
Right.
Even now, losing to Seattle at home, well, everybody does that. Losing to the Cardinals now, that's kind of a head-scratcher now, but, you know, that is definitely water under the bridge. But well,
it shows you that fortunes can change.
The balance that the Patriots have, I think, will present some problems for the Niners. The Niners' defense has been very solid, but it has not been it hasn't been that you can't move the ball against them. Go back and look what the St. Louis Rams did to them in that overtime tie. And the Rams actually then turned around and beat them without even scoring an offensive touchdown.
Right.
But I want to say, no team had, and again, it was five quarters, but the Rams, who are not a prolific offense, had over 450 yards of offense against the Niners and ran the ball on them as well. And running the ball is going to be the key for both teams. There's no question about it. We know who the advantage is in passing. We also know who the advantage is in the quarterback who can run. And I'll be curious to see how much of that falls on the legs of Colin Kaepernick in this matchup. It's going to be, to me, for the Niners, it's going to be all hands on deck. Every back will be used. If Hugh McElhaney is in the area, you will see him in the Niners' backfield.
All right, that's a throwback.
Yeah, that's okay. The whole show is a throwback.
Yeah, it's true.
But bottom line is, it's a tough two-game stretch for the San Francisco 49ers. After this, they just, you know, that we found out a couple days ago that their showdown in Seattle has now been moved to primetime as well.
Wow.
You know, so they're in first place division. They're not that far away from the Atlanta Falcons. Least can afford to lose both of these games to New England and Seattle. But going into Foxborough at any time, especially this time of year, is very, very tough. And I don't think it's going to be a 42-14. I think this is going to be a grind amount. And I think what people are going to be surprised at is that the Patriots can actually play a grinding type of game. I think people think that they score a ton of points and then just put you away. I think with the way they run the football this year, they might catch people guard. So if this is a 19-17 game, I wouldn't be overly surprised.
Funny you should say that, because Eric Scalavino and I said the same thing in the opening hour. He takes the Niners by 3. I have the Patriots by 3.
Very interesting.
My pick was 20-17.
My score, not the year I was born.
Yeah.
since we've been in a throwback mode this entire segment.
Right.
So.
1917. Well, you're not far off from me. I said 20-17. So there you go.
There we go.
See? Well, suffice to say that you know, this has been a 2-week stretch that is why we watch the games, why we follow the games. Is, you know, it builds up plenty of excitement, it gets plenty of interest going on, and I think the NFL is obviously accomplishing, Russell, what they set out to do, and that is to have more meaningful football late in the year, and maybe by holding off some of these divisional games, as we're seeing certainly with the Indy and Houston, you know, example, that, you know, we'll have things that we can talk about from week to week, but it's also kind of cool to see two teams from opposite sides of the country in different conferences meet to where you've got real things that are, you know, are on the line on both sides. So this, you know, adds to the overall interest of the sport.
Well, I mean, think about it, what we have. If you're a history fan and a fan of the history of the Super Bowl, we have one matchup late Sunday afternoon where you have two teams that have been to 16 Super Bowls and won 11 of them. And this matchup, of course, is two teams that have been to 12 Super Bowls and won 8 of them. So, you know, just those four franchises alone, when you say Dallas, I mean, here's how you can really think about it. The team of the 70s was Pittsburgh.
Right.
The team of the 80s, for the most part, was the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
The team of the 90s
was pretty much
the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
And the team since
would
has
be
been the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
And they're all four intertwined this weekend.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Good way. It's kind of cool.
Kind of cool to look at it from just from an NFL perspective, and I'm sure we'll try to enjoy it all, and then we'll regroup and compare and check our notes and see where we are for the last 2 weeks of the regular season when we do this again next week.
You got it.
Thanks, Russell.
Talk to you soon, John.
You got it. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, ColdHardFootballFacts.com, Bleacher Report, and he is here inside the playbook every Thursday on Patriots.com radio. All right, let me get back to the phones because I promised a couple of guys we're hanging on that you have their 2 cents worth. Chris in Virginia, you're in the playbook. Thanks for hanging in there, Chris.
Yeah, I got a question. Do you think I watched the most recent Niners games on NFL Game Rewind. It seems like the Niners are moving toward an offense which is much more reminiscent of like the Washington Redskins with like a read option, and they're trying to incorporate the tight end and stuff and a lot of like play action stuff. How do you think Belichick is going to approach dealing with that type of scheme?
That's a great question. I think that's the key to the game, or one of the keys to the game. I think the Patriots most likely will utilize one of the linebackers. It might be Mayo. It could be Ninkovich. But I think they're gonna ask somebody to be a spy on Colin Kaepernick. And I would think that you're gonna have to, above all else, and this, it'll be up to San Francisco to take advantage of this. Above all else, you're going to have to keep Kaepernick in the pocket so he can't use his legs to the outside to beat you. In that regard, that is probably going to open up some alleys between the tackles, which is where Frank Gore and his ability to gain yardage between the tackles is really going to come into play. But I think they're going to opt to keep a shadow on Kaepernick and see if they can't keep him boxed in and hopefully cause him some confusion in the secondary and see if you can't turn him over. But I think that's got to be at least the initial approach.
Oh, okay. Well, you answered my question. I appreciate that.
No problem.
That was my concern.
What do you think about the score then? Give me a prediction.
Well, I think it's going to be a grinded out game. You know, it's going to be, you know, like you said, 20-17. I think it all comes down to really the Patriots' ability to be able to run the football. If they can't run the football, it's going to be a tough game.
I would agree with you. That's it.
So Niners, the games where they haven't had success, it's been when the other team has run the ball on them.
No question.
The Rams or Seattle or whatnot.
No question. And Russell Baxter just pointed that out as well, and he hit the nail on the head. You can run the football on San Francisco. You control a lot of things. You're controlling the time of possession. You're probably controlling the scoreboard. You're controlling the tempo of the game, and you're not allowed, and you're forcing San Francisco to deal away from its strength.
True.
If the Patriots are running the ball and they're relatively effective at it on Sunday, they should be on the plus side of the scoreboard.
True. Well, looking forward to Sunday night.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your hanging in there. And let's get Sean in Vancouver in here. Sean, you're in the playbook. Thanks for hanging on.
Thanks, John. It's great speaking with you again. First, off the board, I'd want to get my prediction right out of the way.
Go.
I'm going to go Patriots 28, San Francisco 20, and I'll elaborate on that now.
Okay.
What we were talking about yesterday, we still don't know. We'll never know until game time with injuries. But I'm feeling more comfortable that Tlaib and Dennard are going to play. And I think that's going to help the Patriots do a lot more one-on-one coverage, which, like you said, we're going to have a key on Kaepernick, someone spying him. I see that more as Hightower. I just think, you know, we have Spikes, Mayo, and Wilfork just stuff in the middle and keeping Gore down, you know, below 4 yards. Per rush, because you really want to make sure you stop San Francisco's run game, including Kaepernick, and force them to do what they don't want to do, which is to throw downfield.
Yep.
And that's what is the game plan I see with that. And on the other side, I see the Patriots' offensive game plan is Aldon Smith. You want to make sure that you give Folder some help there and keep Smith out of the game, as you did with J.J. Watt last week, and that's going to really help the Patriots do a lot of things. And yeah, Baxter was, was right with that as well. If it's a grind out of game, if that's the way San Francisco is going to play it, the Patriots will take, you know, whatever is going for them. Last week, Houston really keyed on the run defense and stopping Ridley. So Patriots were able to use some play action and throw down the field. I don't think San Francisco is going to do that. So you might see a lot more Ridley this week, even though San Francisco is the number one defense. And I agree with Russell again. You know, it's points that matter more than yards.
Sure.
And San Francisco, you know, giving up 14 points a game this year, where the Patriots are scoring 36 points. So it's number one going against number one again, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you, you know, key defensively for me is keeping a guy like Aldon Smith somewhat in check, you know, being able to, you know, block him without having to utilize too much of your offensive resources in order to keep him out of the backfield. In other words, we think that the Niners are going to try to go with their front seven pretty much straight up. I would be surprised if we saw them blitz. I don't know if, you know, for a fact that they do that a lot. I think they're able to play base against a lot of teams, and they've obviously had some very, very good success with that. So if the Patriots can figure out a way to make sure that Aldon Smith and then Justin Smith, no relation, from his defensive end spot, is also somewhat neutralized by using individual matchups, then that creates other opportunities offensively. And I think San Francisco could come in and say, look, this is what we do, kind of like what Houston did. This is what we do. You got to stop us. Or in this particular instance, you got to move the ball against what we do, because we have confidence enough in our game. And so I think the Patriots will, showing us that they know how to game plan for a team like Houston, I think the Patriots will probably get back into, looking at, okay, well, if we're going to have the middle, or we're going to have the 5 to 8 yard type of inside route open again that they didn't really have last week, because Houston kind of took it away from them, then they're going to go to that, because they got a guy like Wes Walker who can catch the ball and be that much more effective. And you'll probably see a less again of a guy like Brandon Lloyd in terms of, you know, his out patterns and going deep, because that's what Houston was giving you last week. I don't think you'll see San Francisco give you that. So if that is the case, the Patriots just go with what San Francisco gives them, and that's the beauty of the New England offense. The beauty is that they can adapt to whatever a defense throws at them, and they can be relatively successful in doing it as long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I completely agree. I totally see it going that way. And I think, San Francisco's going to land up shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with turnovers. I see the Patriots being in the plus side this week.
I just think that you're asking a bit much, and Kaepernick is a tremendous talent. I understand why San Francisco's made the move from Alex Smith away, because they feel like for the long haul he's got more of what they want out of their quarterback. I totally get it. But generally speaking, when he faces when young quarterbacks face a Belichick coach team for the first time, they don't fare terribly well, generally speaking. And I think the Patriots will probably have a wrinkle or two for him, and I don't think that they'll allow him to operate in a comfort zone. And I think somebody's going to shadow number 7 at all times and make life generally uncomfortable, and he won't be able to operate in a comfort zone. And I think you're going to have that. Now, all bets are off the table, Sean, if the Patriots turn the ball over or they lose in the field position game and they give the 49ers a short field with which to work. Because
and that hasn't really happened.
It hasn't. It hasn't, but it can. And the 49ers are a good enough football team to make you pay when you do that. So that's the X factor when two teams are relatively equal. The X factor is field position and turnovers, kicking game, all the short stuff that, you know, we kind of take for granted. But this is what decides games between contending teams. So I think that will end up being a deciding factor on Sunday as well.
Unfortunately, the Patriots coaching staff don't take that for granted. That's something they really look at.
Well, and Patriots fans should be fortunate that they do take it that way. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. So that's something that we'll look for. And I know I kind of see that going the Patriots way. That's why I'm thinking 28-20. It seems like a lot of points, but not as much as last week.
Yeah.
I didn't really see that coming.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Another thing that I want to comment about this game is something else that kind of came up a little bit is the receivers. Like last week, they were able to do a really good job with Johnson. I mean, sure, he caught close to 100 yards, but he didn't really take it downfield that much. I mean,
right.
He went to him like 11 times, but he didn't get into the end zone. And that's something we could look at for Crabtree. And Vernon Davis has kind of disappeared as well. I'm feeling good about going more man-on-man coverage as well, especially if those guys are healthy in the secondary.
Yeah, I think those are all good points that you bring out, and I certainly can understand that. Certainly, I think I can see that. Yep, I agree with you.
Well, it was great talking to you, John. I appreciate it. Terrific show, and let's go Pats.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate that. Sean in Vancouver. All right, let's get to some emails now. So we've had a bunch of them come in here. Maurice in Alabama says, I really don't see the Niners scoring more than 10 points. My prediction score is 24-10. Okay, Brent in Illinois. John, I think that the travel for San Fran makes this game difficult for them. The score will be 28-24. Patriots. Might still be a little bit too high scoring, but I think we're getting there. Hines says, big win for my Pats. Booyah, 38-14. That's a big one, all right. But I appreciate the sentiment, Hines. Alden says, Asher in Illinois, 31-17. Patriots win. Ray in North Carolina. Can you guys explain the Kaepernick versus Smith issue? Why was Smith benched? Pros and cons for each quarterback. Who's a bigger threat to a Pats victory? Sorry, I don't have time to do the research. Need to hear from you experts. Love the show. Well, such as it is, right, Ray? We're the experts available right now. Smith, I think, was benched largely because I just don't feel like they think, and again, this is just based on what I've read and what I've listened to, I don't feel like they believe he is the go-to guy that they really need to run it. He's done an efficient job. He's certainly done a solid job, if unspectacular. But I think that Kaepernick brings a little bit more to the table in terms of his ability to be multifaceted. And by that, I mean a little more speed, a little bit more leg strength, maybe a little bit more willing to stick his neck out, maybe a little bit more of an RG3 type of quarterback that Alex Smith would present. And I don't mean to denigrate Smith at all. In fact, I'm one of those that thinks, Smith was taken out one game, I think, for an injury. I think the previous game before he got benched, he was like 25 of 27 throwing the ball. And I'm like, and so he's 25 of 27 and he's still getting benched. And I really thought the 49ers were playing with fire. I really did. This has been, what, 3-4 weeks ago? And now, over the last couple of weeks, I guess I'm beginning to understand more why they've made the move they have, because Kaepernick does present more problems to an opposing defense. So they, I think, are kind of playing with fool's gold here. I think they're looking more long-term with Kaepernick's growth into this offense, and yet they're cashing in on the short-term because this team is still competitive and still winning, if that makes any sense. Who is a bigger threat to a Patriots win? I guess I'd have to go with Kaepernick, simply because he's the guy right now. And yet, if he were to be knocked out and Alex Smith would come in, I really don't think that the 49ers would come down appreciably. So I'm not sure that really is the key here. I think the overall key is going to be whether or not the Patriots can, you know, control things against the San Francisco defense. Marco from Mexico. I think this game will be a typical dirty, hard-hitting game, but the Patriots will be able to handle the 49ers and show again they can win in different ways and adapt to different situations. My prediction is Pats win 24-13. I think New England running backs will be a key for the game, not just in the ground yards, but also in the passing game. Thanks, you guys. Have a nice one. Vamos, Patriotas! I like it. Scott, the Patriots fan in Tennessee, says final score, 28-14. The Niners will play poorly in the cold. I don't think that they'll be bothered by that too much, but okay, 28-14. This is Scott in Tennessee. Okay, Canadian Mike in Florida comes through with this one. Great show, guys, but I need to gloat a little bit. After the Rams game, I sent you an email, said the Pats would run the table, and you both kind of chuckled a little, understandably, I guess. And while the Pats still have a little bit of work to do, I like my chances. I think something clicked for the offense and the defense that day. Add Tlaib and bingo. All right. Fair enough. Pat yourself on the back, Canadian Mike. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that. He says, as far as the San Francisco game is concerned, a run-first QB like Vic, RG3, Young, Newton, and now Kaepernick will never win a Super Bowl. They could muddle through a successful regular season, but they will never make it to the big show for several reasons, the biggest being staying healthy, which brings us back to Kaepernick. Run first, yes, good arm, but still a second-year rookie. This game is too big for him. I see about two or three mistakes this Sunday, and the Pats win 28-17. However, a blowout would not surprise me at all, so you could limn all you want about the San Francisco defense. It won't matter. Oh, see, now, Canadian Mike is using a word of the day in his definition and in his description of the Patriots and the 49ers. Special shout-out to Canadian Mike in Florida. That's a good job by you. That's a good job by you. I think I got a couple of others here. Let me see where they are. Here we go. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. My prediction for this week is Pats 28, Niners 20. All right, so that's the third time we've had 28-20 predicted. I think the very good Niners D slows down the Pats O, but ultimately can't stop it. The Niner O does not scare me in the least, especially with the weekly improving Pats D. Throw into that mix, the Pats are at home, and the Niners need to travel 3,000 miles east. It adds up to another Pats win in December. I think Belichick, the assistant coaches, and the leaders like Brady, Wilfork, and Mayo have this team focused and on a roll heading toward the playoffs. Okay, Steve in Killeen, Texas. John, as you and Eric already mentioned, travel to East Coast for the 49ers. Late game, lack of the Niners facing the Pats. Healthy Deion Branch. Remember when he replaced Moss as a deep threat? I don't know how that really figures into this equation, but yes, I remember. And he says, potential for nasty weather. Advantage Pats. Another great win and a hard-fought battle. Keep up the great work. And he says, I debated sending Texas keepsakes, but I think a third brisket is a better way to go. I don't know, Kev, what do you think? Third brisket, better way to go? Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there, Steve. That's a good job out of you. Let's see. Is that one already done? Yeah, that one's already done. Okay. Did we get them all in here? I think we just about nailed them all. Oop. Here comes one more. Bobby says, something nobody has talked about all week is that we destroyed the Rams in London while the 49ers lost, tied the Rams this year. You can make the argument that it's divisional, but I say, what about Miami beating the Seahawks as well as giving us a good game, even though the Hawks had us in their place and Miami had them in theirs? We did discuss this a little bit earlier, Bobby, and fact of the matter is that I think a divisional game does make a difference. I also believe that, you know, the Rams approach an opponent somewhat differently, especially when it comes from within the division, because they have to play them twice as opposed to facing the Patriots and realizing, well, you know, we're over there and we've got to go all this way and we got to travel and they're playing a team that probably doesn't match up very well with them. Yes, we just, you know, the Patriots beat the Rams in London and beat them fairly handily. And yes, the Rams did beat the Niners once and tied them a second time. And so the Rams certainly had that over San Francisco. But the NFL is a game of matchups. And the fact of the matter is that maybe the 49ers just didn't play well a particular week. Maybe the matchups just didn't favor them as much against the Rams. Maybe the Rams were simply just more motivated to play a team within their division because they knew that ultimately for them to go anywhere this year, they were going to have to beat the Niners. And they did that. And they're still not anywhere yet. Although they're 6-6-1, they're really not terribly far away. They still get an outside shot at trying to squeeze in somewhere. But that's something, though, and I mean, they're in the first year of Jeff Fisher being the head coach. That's something I'm sure that the Rams will talk about building on for next year if they don't make the playoffs this year. And by the way, let me say this. I know that there are, you know, a couple of stories that were out there today, various sources about, you know, the NFL playoffs potentially expanding, where largely you're going to go to a 16-team tournament. I think that would be the biggest mistake the NFL could ever make. Don't do it. What is this going to relegate the 16-week regular season to? It's basically going to come down to anybody that's 500 is going to get into the playoffs if you're allowing half the league into the playoffs. Right now, you're allowing 12 teams in, and I think they've got that about right. I think it's about right. 12 out of 32 is probably the way it should be. 16 out of 32, you're allowing four more teams. What difference is it going to make? It means that if you're 500, you're going to have a chance. Already, we're seeing teams at 500 with opportunities to get into the playoffs, which certainly keeps them relevant late in the year. Remember a couple of years ago when, you know, Seattle snuck in at 7-9, for God's sakes, in what was then a horrible NFC West. Isn't that way anymore, is it? It kind of healed itself, didn't it? So all I'm saying is that if they're doing this, some more teams will be relevant later in the year. I disagree. These teams are already relevant. You already only need to be around 500 to have a shot at getting in. Or at the very least, be talked about in the final weeks of the season. And that's what teams really need. They need to be relevant. They need to be talked about. They need to have important games to play. Absolutely. But don't reward teams for mediocrity. And I think if you increase the number of teams in the NFL, that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. Now, if you were just going to tell me, Mr. Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, that the reason you're doing this is because Jerry Jones told you to, I understand that completely. Because the Cowboys are having a hard time getting in, and he doesn't like being left out of the playoff party. So I think we need to expand the playoffs, because then the Cowboys aren't having this discussion. They're probably going to be one of those extra teams to get into the playoffs. Don't need to do that. Don't need to further water down the product any further. You don't need to do it. And I hope that, you know, Mr. Kraft has an issue with the competition committee or whatever in the offseason. I hope he'll throw his weight behind that one and say, you know what, I think we got it right because the NFL is the most popular sport on the planet. So let's keep things the way they are. Why reinvent the wheel? You know, here comes a couple of, you know, well-worn trite cliches. There's no need to mess up a good thing because you're already doing it well. If you're to tell me now that we're going to add a team or two to the NFL and grow the league, that's a different story. I could see if you went to, say, 34, that, or even 33 to an extent, but certainly if you went to 34 and you grew the league by two more franchises, God only knows where you'd put them, in all honesty, because right now Jacksonville stinks, and I think we all realize that, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about this some next week. But, you know, if you grew the league and put a couple of teams in other cities, then I could see expanding maybe by a couple, maybe getting to 14. And then you'd have different buy situations because you'd have an odd number of teams and yada, yada. So you probably have to, if you're going to expand, you'd have to go from 12 to 16 to really make it work mathematically. And then you'd have a true, you know, 18, you know, true 16-team tournament. kind of like the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. You know, you'd have the same type of situation in the NFL. I just don't think that right now you need to do that because you have a universe of 32 teams in which you're participating. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me on that, and I hope it doesn't happen. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week inside the playbook. Our thanks, of course, to Eric Scalavino from PFW and Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. Oh, KB from Atlanta just chimed in. He says, what's up, J. Rowe? My prediction, Pats 23, Niners 20. Okay, pretty good. That's pretty close to what I had. I had 3 points. It's just slightly higher than mine at 20 to 17. All right, so 23-20, KB from Atlanta says. Thanks for everybody taking part this week. Exciting time, obviously. Big game again coming up Sunday night. And we'll be right back here, same Pats time, same Pats channel, next Tuesday to talk about it in the playbook. And then there are 2 weeks left to go. So there's a lot to watch. There's a lot to look forward to. And we'll see if the Patriots can keep the ball rolling. It's going to be fun, to say the least. Going to be fun. Enjoy the weekend. I know you will. Bill and Todd coming up. Fantasy football champs next on Patriots.com radio.
Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2